You know, no matter what game I'm playing, I can usually brute force my way through a dumb guy strategy that will win me a few games here and there, but they feel like empiric victories. Blockus is a game for 2 to 4 players with a few simple rules. The ultimate goal being to play as many of your little plastic tetromino pieces as you can fit onto a rapidly filling board, dodging and blocking other players' pieces along the way. You can teach it in 5 minutes, and everyone wants a rematch the moment they finish their first game. It's also something that my wife is very good at. Preternaturally good. I don't know what demon she bargained with for her powers, but she can predict every player's moves with incredible accuracy and plot an unstoppable path to victory. I've tried playing aggressive or defensive or sneaky and unpredictable, but she still manages to beat me savagely every single time. That might seem like a Sisyphean sort of hell. But if you recall our discussion of Alistair MacIntyre's virtue ethics in episode 259, winning and losing are pretty much incidental to what he sees as our ultimate purpose, enjoying the internal goods and flourishing that results from our joint pursuit of some shared vision of excellence. Not achievement, pursuit. For MacIntyre, a gamer obsessed with winning is missing the forest for the trees. Sure, I could find some way to distract my wife while she's trying to plan her next move, or pay other players to trip her up, or slip extra pieces onto the board while she's not looking. I could easily claim some sort of victory from such tactics, but I wouldn't be able to claim excellence. I wouldn't find serious pride in my achievement or cultivate any of the skills of a really amazing Blockus player, foresight, attention, adaptability, and so on. The practice of gaming itself would be degraded as the relationship between playing well and winning became fuzzy and hard to read. In contrast, it's absolutely possible that I could lose every single game of Blockus I ever play and still find a measure of excellence, with all the benefits of diligent practice and a flourishing community of fellow gamers. I mean, hell, after losing to my wife for so many years, I might be the second greatest Blockus player alive. MacIntyre's posture stands in stark contrast to a relatively common sentiment, that it's not how you play the game, it's whether you win or lose. Boosters, grifters, advertisers, analysts, showmen, and commentators want to sell you their secrets, or maybe the secret, to success in business, romance, politics, the stock market, whatever. Every time I log in, YouTube is desperate to show me an intricately granular breakdown of how my videos are performing and to give me hot tips on how to maximize viewer engagement so I can be a YouTube success. Horse race coverage of which candidates are up or down among this or that category of voters, or who has most recently dunked on whom, has made politics feel more like a stock ticker than an articulation of anyone's deeply held values. And the actual stock tickers are always churning away in the background of every news broadcast to remind us who the winners and losers of the day are. It often feels like the mantra of the present day was best articulated by UCLA coach Red Sanders. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. MacIntyre's philosophy isn't for everyone, but for me, it's a breath of fresh air, asking us to take a step back from that constant background thrum of competition, success, and failure, to shift focus away from ends and toward means, to pay special attention to how we go about our lives and what kind of people we become by living that way, rather than simply assuming that once we've won, whatever that means, we'll be rewarded with all the meaning and happiness we're owed, or imagine we're owed. Consider those individuals and organizations who have crushed their competitors, victorious by almost any metric, but seem to be drowning at the same time, thrashing about with increasing desperation in the midst of all their wealth and influence for something essential that somehow wasn't included in their jackpot. Adoration, stability, peace of mind. There are endless parables and aphorisms about the vast gulf between victory and contentment. King Midas, Faust, Macbeth, the monkey's paw. It seems storytellers around the world have made a point of imparting the same bit of wisdom. Be careful what you wish for. Those sorts of stories seem weirdly out of place in a world where even highly profitable and well-loved companies are subject to layoffs and cannibalization if they can't promise exponential returns on investment, and the wealthiest people on earth somehow can't seem to afford peace of mind. It's also worth noting that even among the so-called victors, the final score is always the same. Everything in the universe eventually succumbs to the mandate of entropy. We can face that defeat gracefully or defiantly, but whatever positive meaning we hope to find in our lives can't come from their conclusions. It has to come from the stuff we do in the meantime. For some reason, many people struggle with that notion, but have no trouble accepting the same reasoning in other contexts. Nobody takes up gardening hoping that they will eventually have watered and fertilized and pruned enough to declare some sort of permanent victory over their plants. It's simply understood that the act of caring for plants is, in and of itself, a significant part of what's rewarding about the hobby. Even if the ultimate score against entropy is the same for you and the plants that you help grow, there is satisfaction, pleasure, and nourishment for the soul in the performance of the ritual itself. There are momentary victories to be celebrated and losses to be mourned, but even when your monstera looks like it's been baked to death in an oven, we find meaning and pleasure in the fight to coax it back to life. That's what I keep coming back to. The fight is the thing. There's something seductive about the idea that the battle against weeds, tyrants, oppression, entropy, my wife's crazy block of superpowers, is something we can win. That if we play our cards right, we can beat them forever and simply spend the rest of our lives resting comfortably on our laurels, basking in some paradise of eternal, unchanging victory. But from McIntyre's perspective, the point isn't the result, it's the process. It certainly matters if we can secure a win somewhere along the way, carve out some kind of peace for as long as we're able, but any triumph will always be temporary, and on a long enough timeline, failure is inevitable. The more fundamental, important task is cultivating and embodying the best possible versions of ourselves and our society as we fight the good fight. Weirdly enough, the darkest moments actually supply the greatest opportunities to hone and demonstrate those virtues. Perseverance, grace under pressure, compassion, courage, cunning. We might lament that circumstances call for us to be heroic, but relish the chance to be heroes. There will always be oppressive tyrants, rapacious gluttons, gullible bigots, and all the myriad woes they inflict on the world. But what a privilege to stand with others and beat them back, at least for a while. In his memoir, Jacques Lusseron, a writer and leader of the French resistance during the Nazi occupation, tells of a young comrade in arms, François, whose enthusiasm was never damped by the constant stream of bad news, Nazi victories or allies dragging their feet entering the war. In fact, he seemed invigorated by it. Quote, he would shake me and say, what a ball. Just think, what a celebration if after all this, there's not a chance. They are just ghosts, the ones who think people fight to win. They fight because they like it. Despair in the face of overwhelming odds is understandable. But if François can muster that sort of enthusiasm for a hopeless last stand against the Nazis, maybe I can find something valuable in one more round of Blockus. What value do you find in the fight for a better world? Please leave a comment below and let me know what you think. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to blah, blah, subscribe, blah, share, and don't stop thunking.